am filling in for Pastor Bruce, so part of me as a teacher, the teacher part of me, delights in getting out early, so we'll do the best we can here, just early dismissals from school. If it's, I don't know if we can say it was snowing hard, but I've just got a few things I'm going to share, and after that we'll head on home. Dawn has two sisters that live in Florida, and one time we were down visiting. I remember being with my brother-in-law, John, and he's a dynamic, articulate pastor. Sometime maybe he can share a message here. But we were over by this one tree-lined beach, and I noticed it looked like a fire had gone through. All these trees were dead and just black. I was like, did a fire go through here, John? It looks like all these trees are just very, very dark and blackened. And he said, no, actually, that's from a hurricane. And I said, what do you mean? I said, they're still standing up. He says, well, the hurricane came along and it hit these trees so hard that it lifted their roots right up out of the soil enough to kill them. And so they weren't tipped over. The roots weren't exposed, but they were not rooted anymore. And just want to use that as an analogy of how some Christians sometimes can have themselves, their faith, maybe just yanked and unrooted. I'm not saying that anything can tear you away from the love of God. Nothing can. Romans 8 is very clear about that. But sometimes, if we're not in the Word, if we're not anchored in Christ, the anchor of our souls, Hebrews 6:12, we can find that we're being tossed about like a small object on a piece of cobweb blowing in the wind. Maybe you've seen that analogy. The Apostle Paul talks about that in Ephesians 4:14. But these trees looked like they should be fine. Their roots were in the ground, but they weren't really in the ground. And I just think as we head into times that are uncertain out there with the economy, the world, morality going down, we know all the problems. We see them every day in the news. God is going to judge wickedness. He's going to judge evil in this world. And I just want to assure you of something I stressed with the youth group last week. And Athena came up after, and she's like, where's that verse again? It's 2 Peter 2:9. I'm just going to turn there and read that to you. I just thought it would be reassuring for us to hear some stuff from this passage. It says, so you see, the Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while punishing the wicked right up until the day of judgment. And earlier in the chapter, it says God spared Noah. And then later on, it says God spared Lot. And then it makes this point. The Lord knows how to rescue godly people from their trials, even while punishing the wicked right up until the day of judgment. So I guess I just want to emphasize a couple things here today. And the first thing is that, number one, we need to be rooted and established in Christ. And I remember Brother Don Arthur sharing and beautiful prayer from Ephesians 3. He shared with us one time, and I'll just turn there too, since this is well worth listening to. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 16. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will give you mighty inner strength through his Holy Spirit. And I pray that Christ will be more and more at home in your hearts as you trust in him. May your roots go down deep into the soil of God's marvelous love. And may you have the power to understand, as all God's people should, how wide, how long, how high and how deep his love really is. May you experience the love of Christ, though it is so great you will never fully understand it. Then you will be filled with the fullness of life and power that comes from God. So, Psalm 1, the tree planted by the river, roots that go down into the river, those trees always prosper. It does not matter what sort of judgment the Lord brings on our world. God, if he is your God, your personal Lord and Savior, he's going to bring you through it. He's going to give you the strength you need to survive, to be faithful. I read a story once of a Christian who was in Cambodia at the time of the Khmer Rouge taking over. 1 in 8 people were killed in Cambodia during this time. And he had a wife and a son, a little baby. And they ended up in a refugee camp. And he just prayed. He's like, God, help me. I'm here for you. I'm trying to do your will. And even in this refugee camp, God used him. But this conviction came upon him. I just need to go fishing. And they weren't in a lake. They were in a rice paddy. And people would go out and work in the rice paddy all day. But he had this impression on his heart that the Lord told him, go fishing. And so every day for over a year while he was in this camp, while people around were just really having a tough time eking out an existence, every day he went fishing, and every day he caught one fish and was able to take that home, and him and his wife and child could eat that. And notice he didn't go fishing and a limousine pulled up and said, hey, Paul, we got $1,000 worth of Arby's beef and cheddars in the car here. Let's go. We need some help eating these curly cheese fries. It might not be exactly what you're wanting for provision. Maybe Elijah wanted something more than oil and grain cooked up as little cakes. I'm certain that the Israelites, when they were wandering in the wilderness, kind of got tired of manna. You know, they started complaining, oh, more manna, great. Never mind that it was miraculous provision. They just got tired of God's miraculous provision, and they wanted something else. But folks, we need to just have a perfect peace, a perfect trust in God. He is going to take care of us, and if we can just be rooted in his word, rooted and established, if you know God's word, if you treasure it, if you delight in it every day, day and night, Psalm 1 says, we can be rooted and established. If we do that, God will take care of us, even while he's in the middle of judging the wicked people all around us. What could that involve? Certainly, you know, there could be economic turmoil in the U.S. We've been kind of spoiled in our country, and we talk about hard times coming. Folks, hard times is all some people in the world ever know. That's all they know. Every day they walk a mile just trying to get some water, and they walk back a mile with their water. And some of you will say, well, why don't they just live closer to the water? Okay, that's not the point of the story. The point is, we have it good here, but do we really? If you look around at the morality that's happening, okay, he's fine, Alyssa, he's fine. Okay, I can call this, he's going to go, yep. 1, 2, 3, he does that to me, okay. So. But we need to make sure, though, that we can build into our lives a habit of delighting in God's word. And if we build into our lives a habit of delighting in his word, when the storm comes, when the hurricane hits and is pulling on our very hearts and souls, we won't get unrooted from the Lord. We'll be firmly planted in him, and we won't be blown about by every wind of doctrine. The last times, 1 Timothy says, there'll be false teachers, and they're going to try to persuade you to do this or do this. and they'll have lots of clever speech and a lot of followers. But we'll be able to discern a false teacher from the truth if we delight in God's word day and night. So I don't want to belabor that too much, but that's an important starting point. I want to go to Isaiah 26, just briefly, just for a verse. I said this to Joe. He was headed out for a cross-country race yesterday in 80-degree heat. He was running up a giant hill, South Jeff. I took one look at the hill and started running away. I was like, no. Okay. But Isaiah 26, verse 3. You will keep in perfect peace all who trust in you, whose thoughts are fixed on you. So we don't have to get nervous about anything, any trials that are going to come. Now, if we go back to the beginning of Isaiah, just flip back to Isaiah chapter 1. I want to make a point here. All the trouble that the world finds itself in, both individually and collectively, it all comes from one thing. We have will, okay? Okay, sometimes our will just is what we want, right? So, but you and I, we make our choices, and sometimes that involves being evil. And listen to this. Isaiah chapter 1 says, give up your wicked ways. Verse 17, learn to do good, seek justice, help the oppressed, defend the orphan, fight for the rights of widows. So next time you hear someone say, I'm bored, okay, well, here's something you can do. Come now, let us argue this out, says the Lord. No matter how deep the stain of your sins, I can remove it. I can make you as clean as freshly fallen snow. Even if you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool. If you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. But if you keep turning away and refusing to listen, you will be destroyed by your enemies. I, the Lord, have spoken. Then verses 27 and 28, same chapter. Because the Lord is just and righteous, the repentant people of Jerusalem will be redeemed. Okay, so if you repent, there's forgiveness. But all sinners will be completely destroyed, for they refuse to come to the Lord. I've sort of spent a lot of my life, you know, from the time I was a young man right up till now, just trying to learn the arguments, how to defend my faith. And when someone says, oh yeah, I believe in evolution, you know, I like to study God's word and say, well, you know, did you ever consider this or did you consider this? And the Bible says we need to be ready to give an answer to all those that ask about the hope that is in us, 1 Peter 3:15. But verse 16 is really important too. It says we need to do that in humility and gentleness. And I think I may have struck out a few times as a teenager, okay? There was that little bit maybe of over-preparedness, a little bit of, I'm going to slam dunk this down your throat, buddy. Okay, like, you know, a guy going in for a layup and a basketball player says the phrase, not in my house, and they just smash the ball away and the whole crowd goes, yeah. Okay, well, I think sometimes maybe as a young Christian, you know, someone would come up and, you know, say something and I'd be like, oh yeah, not in my house, you know. Give them this answer from the Bible, but I wasn't actually using humility or gentleness. And that's a strikeout for Christianity. When we do things, even though we might have the right doctrine or the right argument or the actual firm grasp on truth, if we do defend our faith in such a way that's not gentle or not presenting it in a humble fashion, then we're going to end up turning people away. But ultimately, the longer I've been involved in debates and defending my faith, I've come to this conclusion. In most cases, the person you're arguing with that's an atheist or a non-Christian antagonist, whatever, in most cases, it's not a matter of evidence. It's not a matter of there's no proof, because the Bible says all of creation just testifies to God's eternal power and divine nature. But it's a matter of will. People don't want to come to Jesus because then they have to admit they're a sinner. They'd rather stay in a dark corner and say, no, I'm not a sinner. I don't need God's grace and forgiveness. But how very, very unfortunate that is, because here Jesus has died on a cross. He's paid the ultimate price. God did as much as he could do without forcing you to become a Christian. He's done it. Day after day after day, he lavishes love on you. And we have to make sure that we respond to that sometime in our life and say, Lord, I embrace your grace. Please wash away my sins. Let me go back to this verse in Isaiah 1. If you are stained as red as crimson, I can make you as white as wool. If you will only obey me and let me help you, then you will have plenty to eat. But if you keep turning away and refusing to listen, you will be destroyed. I, the Lord, have spoken. It's such a wonderful message that a lot of people, in an attempt maybe nowadays not to be offensive or anything, they just leave out the whole judgment part of sin. And it's like, oh, God loves you. And Jesus died on the cross because he loves you. And love, love, love. But as Pastor Bruce so faithfully has proclaimed sermon after sermon, okay, heaven is not your default destination, okay? Hell is the default destination for all of us unless we accept Christ as our Savior, unless we apply God's grace. God's grace is more than sufficient. It will wash away our sins. It will make us able to live an abundant life in Christ. But we have to embrace that grace. And if all we do is ignore God, if we go to Matthew, I won't go there, but let me just summarize a teaching of the Lord's Jesus is there. He said they have eyes to see, ears to hear, but they don't. Okay, and he was talking in the parable of the sower. And Isaiah explains that they refuse to obey, and that's why they can't see. And Jesus explains that as well. If you refuse to accept God's grace, of course, you're not going to be in a good way. Ravi Zacharias, great Christian radio teacher, told a story recently on one of his shows. I'm just going to paraphrase again just to save time. When Adoniram Judson was a young man, he was originally not a believer, and his parents had sent him to this Christian school, and this boy was brilliant, Adoniram, but he did not love God or follow his commands. And he used his intellect in an offensive way against the gospel. And his teachers, you know, he graduated and, from this very prestigious school, and his teacher said, what's going to happen to this boy? I wonder, you know, is God going to get a hold of him? And his parents were praying for him. Adoniram Judson, while he was at the school, had a classmate that professed Christ, certainly when he came, but Adoniram had such a profound effect on this young man that he ended up leaving the faith. And think hurricane hitting a tree and this young man becoming unrooted. Long story short, Adoniram Judson goes on with his life. He's traveling the world. He's this brilliant scholar originally, and eventually he's going to become the first missionary that we send out to Burma, one of the very first missionaries to go from our country. And eventually huge number of believers will come to believe in the Lord because of this man's witness. But a little story of his conversion experience follows. He was, I believe, in Burma traveling. He gets into this hotel, and it's hot and dusty, and he's exhausted. And he says, please, can I have a room to stay? And the hotel owner says, no. He says, we're completely full. We have no beds. And he says, oh, please. He says, I just need to sleep here. I'm going to catch a train in the morning. Can I just lay in the hall? I'll pay you the same as I would for a room. Just let me sleep in the hall. I'll get up before anyone else comes, I just really need to rest. And so he says, well, he says, actually, he says, if you're that desperate, I do have a room, but there's a person in this room that he's just in a very bad physical state. There's a tremendous odor emanating from this man, and he's in extreme pain, and he keeps moaning and yelling, and I just didn't want to run out the room because I was afraid that nobody would be able to actually, you know, get any sleep. And he said, I'll take it. I'll just take that room. So he went in, and sure enough, in this room, you know, he could hear this man who was just dying in the throes of death itself, and just in great, incredible pain. And he heard his great suffering. But then about halfway through the night, the cries ceased, and he went out the next morning. He got his sleep, and he went out, and he said to the hotel owner, he said, he says, you must have got that man some help. He said, he finally quieted down. He said, sir, he said he died. He died in the middle of the night. And he said, as a matter of fact, didn't you say you were from this place and went to this school? And he said, yes, I did. And he said, well, this gentleman who just died in such horrible pain was also from this school. And long story short, it turned out to be this boy that he had convinced not to follow Christ. And so years later, Adoniram Judson had been right next to this man's room when he was dying, entering a Christless eternity. And Adoniram Judson, in his biography, says that when he left the hotel that day, he could just hear two words just repeatedly in his head to the pounding of the horse hoofs. I guess he was riding horse. Death and hell, death and hell, death and hell. And it was not long, you know, before Adoniram Judson, you know, realized the great error of his ways and came back to his Lord and Savior. The point is, Jesus in Revelation 3:20 says, I'm standing at the door knocking. If any man opens the door of his heart, I'll come in and sup with him and he with me. Sup just means I'll have a meal with you. We'll sit down and we'll fellowship. God wants to have fellowship with us, but our sins prevent that. He's a holy God. He's not going to force his way into our lives, but his arms are open wide. If you've, I've probably mentioned it a lot of times before, but the Jimmy Wayne song, I Love You This Much, if you ever get a chance to hear that song, it's about a boy whose dad is an alcoholic, and this boy just feels like totally rejected. You know, he's always ready to love his dad, and his dad is consumed with a bad habit. And so he grows very angry at God. And at the dad's funeral, when the dad dies, in the song, the boy looks up, or he's now a man, a young man, and he looks up and he sees Jesus on the cross, and he realizes his spiritual dad, God, loved him this much. And I just pray that you would realize that today, the love of God, so rich and pure, is ready for you. So I just pray that you'll embrace that. Okay. Something else to think about just prior to leaving here. And we are ready to go. Three things not to do if you're convinced that these are the last days, if September 13th, next Sunday, is the issuing bad things. Some things not to do. Don't worry. God will take care of you. Jesus' words, which of you by worrying can? You can finish the sentences. You know that. Add a single inch to your stature or something, right? Okay. Philippians 4:6-8 says, let your requests be made known to God. And God will give you a peace that passes all understanding. We shouldn't worry because fear robs us of our joy. And when we're fearful, we're not looking out to other people. Fear is a very self-centered thing, isn't it? When we're being robbed of our joy and scared of something, we're not focusing on Christ. We're not focusing on loving our neighbor, what they need. We're just worrying about ourselves. So we need to keep our eyes focused on Christ. So don't worry. Cast all your anxiety on him. 1 Peter 5:7. Don't do this. Don't isolate yourself from non-Christians. It's nice if we're in a Christian community. It's nice if, hey, look at this. We got all this salt in the salt shaker. Woohoo, we all believe in Jesus. Nobody does anything bad. I think that still would happen. I think that's time. Time is up. Okay, I tried to finish before the bell, but I didn't. Okay, but we need to stay in the world. We have to be salt and light to a world around us. Okay, so we can't just skip out of town and say, we're just going to go hang out with Christians. So don't isolate yourself from non-Christians. Instead, be in the world, but not of the world. And there is a bland, tasteless, dark world that needs Christians that will be salt and light in gentle and humble ways. We can't forget that. Don't think only about this world. 2 Timothy 2:4, Paul talking to Timothy, he says, no good soldier gets involved in the affairs of this world. He's on a mission. He focuses on his mission. So make sure you do that. What to do? Meditate on God's word day and night. Delight in it. Listen to it. Listen to it. I could not believe, I just started looking through the word of God, how many times God just says, listen. Listen. Okay. It just doesn't seem like it's that hard. Okay, got these things right here. Listen, and then take courage, be brave, trust God, and obey. Set your minds on things above. Make a joyful noise to the rock of your salvation, Psalm 95. Be imitators of God. Live a life of love. Keep yourself pure. Okay, there's lots that we can do, no matter who's president, no matter if there's a wall built or not. Okay, I'm not worried about the Trump wall. I'm thinking about that heavenly wall. It's 216 feet thick. It's made of gold. Pretty nice wall. I'm not sure if it's made of gold. I got to go there. Revelation. You're like, look, it's hot, man. It's made of gold. Whatever. Just get out of here. Okay. No. Okay. Revelation 21. Okay, so he took me in spirit to a great high mountain, and he showed me the holy city Jerusalem descending out of heaven from God. It was filled with the glory of God, sparkled like a precious gem, crystal clear like jasper. Its walls were broad and high with 12 gates. It doesn't say there. The wall of the city had 12 foundation stones. The wall was made of jasper. The city was pure gold. The wall of the city was built on a foundation stone. So I thought it was made of jasper, not gold. Yep. And there's the pearly gates. Read that chapter. That's the wall you want to be thinking about. There's one more wall I want to draw attention to in closing. Not the Donald Trump wall. Not this wall, but there's a different wall. Ezekiel 3 says, you're a watchman on God's wall. I've placed you there. In ancient Israel, when danger was in the area, there were watchmen on the city walls, and this wall had gates that could be shut and oak planks put across. No one could get through these iron gates reinforced with oak boards, but you had to get inside the city to be safe. And today, if you're here and you have Jesus Christ as your Savior, God's placed you as a watchman on the wall, and you can see the trouble coming. So, guess what? There's a shofar in Hebrew culture. It's this horn that is blown, and they sound the alarm so people will come into the city. And sometime I'll play a song for you. I wrote about that passage at Ezekiel chapter 3. But you're high up on this city wall. You can see what's going on. You've got the Word of God telling you what's going to happen. Your friends that are non-Christians don't have that. They have no clue what's about ready to hit them. But you can share the good news of the gospel with them. And God says, their blood I'll require of you if you don't do your job, if you walk away, if you're going to be like Private Upham in Saving Private Ryan and just get overcome with fear and cower and just listen to your friends dying when they need your help, if you're going to do that, then God says, I'll require their blood of you. I don't know what's entailed in that. I know that 1 John 2:28 says when Christ comes back, some people will be ashamed. And 1 Corinthians 3 says some people will be saved, yet as through fire. Build on the sure foundation of Christ. Do all these things, but really just delight in his word. If you delight in his word, everything, listen to it. Everything else will take care of itself. Let's pray. Dear Lord, we just ask that you would help us this morning as we meditate on your word. Lord, the verse Revelation 3:20 just keeps coming back to mind. You're standing there knocking on our heart's door. You want us so badly just to be your child. Lord, I just pray for us all that we would just throw open that door and say, Lord, be my Lord and Savior. That's a private, personal matter that does not have to be broadcast all over the world, but the world will notice when the Holy Spirit comes in and brings you love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness, faithfulness and gentleness, self-control. Lord, we just pray that your Spirit would invade our hearts and minds, control us so that we can just not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our minds, by studying and delighting in your word. Help us to be rooted and established in love, your love, Father, knowing that we've got a great Father with huge loving arms. Each day you carry us in your arms, Psalm 68 says. Lord, thank you for that. And Lord, we thank you that Isaiah 43 says you hold us by our right hand. You're holding us, guiding us through the fire, guiding us through the water. Lord, just help us to be confident that no matter what's happening in the world around us, we can have joy, we can be light and salt and have this great peace, even while others are just in desperation. Help us, Lord, to have that. Help us to be confident, not to worry about food or water. Help us to worry about being a faithful witness for you. And if persecution comes, as it surely will, Lord, we just pray that you would make us faithful. Help us to be men and women who are committed to you that will always, always stay with you, no matter what the cost. And Lord, if you can do that for us, we will just reflect all the glory and honor back to your name. In Jesus' precious name, amen. Yesterday, today, forever, Jesus is the same. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. Glory to his name. All may change, but Jesus never. Glory to his name.